Es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Found Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
Aprende, diviértete. Esto, lo que escuchas, es Baugan Radio.
No excuses.
Welcome to another episode of No Excuses. This is Fitz. A very good morning to you. And let's start with some negative questions. Question. So the final sound is like C-H-U-N. Chun. Question. I have a question. Do you like asking questions? Yes, I like asking questions. So it is, even though it's a T, it's pronounced like a C-H. Strange. But also you have organization. Temptation. To pronounce English properly, you really, really, really need to forget about the spelling. The spelling is only to help you with writing. To spell and write correctly. Now, a tip for you. I think I've mentioned it before. There's a free piece of software called Grammarly. So grammar with L-Y at the end. And you download it. You download it into your Microsoft Office, into your Outlook, and it'll help you when you're writing emails in English. It'll help you in not just spelling, but in style. Now, sometimes I might disagree with the style, but I'll never disagree with the spelling, although, of course, it is American spelling. But it's fine. It's correct. So, negative questions. I give you the negative statement, you give me the negative question. I haven't reached my potential yet. Now again, there's another example. Strange spelling. Potential is the spelling. Potential is the pronunciation. Why haven't you reached your potential yet? Now, all kinds of delightful and delicious pronunciation problems here. Haven't. Not haven't, haven't. Why, not guai. Why haven't you reached, one syllable. Every day I reach, yesterday I reached, your potential yet. Why haven't you reached your potential yet? It hasn't happened yet. Happened, two syllables. Happened. It hasn't happened yet. Why hasn't it happened yet? Diet. Why hasn't it happened? Diet. Nobody has come yet. Nobody has come yet. Why hasn't anybody come yet? Link yet at all times to the previous word. And it should be yet. E-et. E-et, not jet. Nobody has come yet. Nobody has come yet. Why hasn't anybody come yet? Why hasn't anyone come yet? They haven't gone there this week. Gone, the verb to go. They haven't gone there this week. Why haven't they gone there this week? Week. Why haven't they gone there this week? I haven't called him. I haven't phoned him. I haven't rung him. I haven't rung him, the verb to ring. Much more British Irish English, but call is becoming more common. I haven't called him. I haven't called him. Now, it's not called him. It is almost as if you're saying call Tim. I haven't called him. I haven't called him. Why haven't you called him? Why haven't you called him? I haven't seen them today. I haven't seen them today. Why haven't you seen them today? Them. Why haven't you seen them today? I couldn't do it yesterday. Yesterday. I couldn't do it yesterday. Why couldn't you do it yesterday? Why couldn't you do it yesterday? Now, you may have a very good level. Please don't spoil your good level by mispronouncing words beginning with Y. It's an easy thing to fix. So it's not yesterday, yesterday, yesterday. Why couldn't you do it yesterday? Why couldn't you do it yesterday? We didn't take a break. Break with a strong K sound. We didn't take a break. A break. Why didn't you take a break? What's a break? A rest. Un descanso. A break. A break. If you think of, how do you say desayuno in English? Breakfast. And you think, where does that come from? That comes from break, fast. It's like the literal translation from the Spanish, pretty much. Break fast, but always pronounced breakfast. Breakfast. And you might say, well, why don't we say breakfast? Because it's a very old word. And so either the pronunciation has evolved, or this is how people said fast many years ago. Probably it's more the evolution. Breakfast. Breakfast. We didn't take a break. Excuse me. We didn't take a break. We didn't take a break. Pronounce the T in didn't. And both D's. Didn't. Didn't. We didn't take a break. We didn't take a break. Why didn't you take a break? Why didn't you take a break? We couldn't help the boy. Strong B with boy. We couldn't help the boy. Why couldn't you help the boy? Why couldn't you help the boy? Now, there's another word in English with exactly the same sound. Same sound as boy. Spelled B-U-O-Y. It's what you see when you're next to a river or a lake or by the sea. And there's a life-saving device. That's one of the examples. In the shape of a ring that you throw to somebody with a rope to help save them. Or at sea, it's a marker that often has a light on it that it's probably anchored to the bottom of the ocean, of the bay, for example, and it provides a guide for seafaring people. Seafaring, to fare on the sea. A sailor is a seafarer. They travel on the sea. So that's called a buoy, B-U-O-Y. But in American English, it's pronounced buoy. Buoy. Yeah, but in a British Irish English, I can't speak for Australian, New Zealand, South African. I think Canadians probably also say what the American version is. B-U-O-Y. B-U-O-Y. For me, it's a boy. For an American, it's a buoy. It's a buoy. We couldn't help the boy. Why couldn't you help the boy? Why couldn't you help the boy? So you could say, throw the boy to the boy. Throw the boy to the boy. But an American would say, throw the buoy to the boy. They didn't try the new system. Careful of the word system. They didn't try the new system. Vaughan Systems. Why didn't they try the new system? He didn't know anything about it. He didn't know anything about it. Why didn't he know anything about it? Why didn't he know anything about it? She didn't ask him for it. Ask him. Ask him. She didn't ask him for it. Why didn't she ask him for it? Ask him. Now, not to be rude. How do you say culo in English? Ass. All right. And who's the most famous? Who's the dictator of North Korea? What's his name? Kim. Ask him. Ask him. Why didn't she ask him for it? And it's not for it. Why didn't she ask him for it? For it. Why didn't she ask him for it? It's, if you take the word forest, bosque, and remove the S, you would have for it. For it. Why didn't she ask him for it? Why didn't she ask him for it? He doesn't know the answer. He doesn't know the answer. Why doesn't he know the answer? Remember, the W is silent in answer. He doesn't know the answer. Why doesn't he know the answer? Why doesn't he know the answer? They couldn't get there on time. They couldn't get there on time. Why couldn't they get there on time? Why couldn't they get there on time? Now, you might say, but could you say in time? Yeah, and there's a debate about this in English. It's a very subtle meaning. For me, on time means exactly punctual. You were supposed to be there at 10 o'clock and you got there at 10 o'clock. You were sitting at your meeting ready at 10 o'clock. That's on time. In time, for me, is you were punctual, but maybe you were there a little bit earlier. Maybe, but again, all these things are open to debate. Language is a human enterprise, and it's not always a very scientific answer. Let's do a little bit of work with, simple past and past continuous. Linking the two, mixing the two in the same sentence, very common in English, when you are narrating, when you're telling people about something that happened. You use both of these in the same sentence. So, for example, this is a question. ¿Qué pasó cuando venías aquí? ¿Qué pasó cuando venías aquí? What happened when you were coming here? So what happened? Simple past. When is the relative pronoun. You were coming here. Past continuous. What happened when you were coming here? What happened when you were coming here? Le vi cuando iba a clase. Le vi cuando iba a clase. I saw him when he was going to class. I saw him when he was going to class. ¿Qué hacías tú cuando les viste? ¿Qué hacías tú cuando les viste? What were you doing when you saw them? What were you doing when you saw them? ¿A dónde ibas cuando tuviste el accidente? ¿A dónde ibas cuando tuviste el accidente? Where were you going when you had the accident? Accident. Where were you going when you had the accident? ¿Dónde estaba él cuando se enteró del accidente? ¿Dónde estaba él cuando se enteró del accidente? Where was he when he learned, one syllable, learned. Where was he when he learned about the accident? Where was he when he learned about the accident? Again, pronounce the T in about. Where, not where, where. Where was he when he learned about the accident? If you want to use a phrasal verb, where was he when he found out about the accident? To find out. Where was he when he found out about the accident? ¿Qué hacías cuando oíste la noticia? ¿Qué hacías cuando oíste la noticia? What were you doing when you heard the news? The verb to hear. What were you doing when you heard the news? Very common question in English. Have you heard the news? When there's some scandal or something sensational you want to talk about. Have you heard the news? Did you hear the news? Él bajaba de su coche cuando la bomba estalló. And I want you to use a phrasal verb. Él bajaba de su coche cuando, in both clauses. Él bajaba de su coche cuando la bomba estalló. He was getting out of his car when the bomb went off. He was getting out of his car when the bomb went off. Now you might say, phrasal verbs are a nightmare. Okay. But you could say, he was exiting. It sounds strange, but it's grammatically correct. He was exiting his car when the bomb exploded. So don't worry if you don't. The most important thing with phrasal verbs is that you understand them when we use them. It's like expressions in Spanish for me. I may not use the expression very quick, very often, but when I hear it, it's important I understand it. And of course, if I don't, I ask the speaker. I say, excuse me, what does that mean? What does that mean? Speaking of one of my, and I'm not calling anybody this, but one of my favorite words in Spanish is canta mañanas. And of course, it's very severe, but it's hilarious to me. A morning singer. I know Alberto Alonso loves that too, a morning singer. Iba al cine cuando me encontré con Morgan. Now, Morgan is a person's name, usually a man's name. Iba al cine cuando me encontré con Morgan. I was going to the movies when I ran into Morgan. Now, again, you might say, but Fitz, could I say I was going to the movies when I encountered Morgan? Me encontré. Yeah, absolutely. It's very elegant, actually. A little old, what we call old school, old fashioned. But it's just, if you can't think of the phrasal verb, sometimes on a 50-50 basis, the Latin translation will work. Iba al cine cuando me encontré con Morgan. So you might say, so can I say, I was going to the cinema, correct? Cinema. When I encountered Morgan. I guess you can. I was going to the movies when I ran into Morgan. I was going to the cinema. Where I grew up in Cork, we would have said, and I think people still say, at least of my generation, I was going to the pictures. I was going to the pictures when I ran into Morgan. Murieron cuando reparaban los cables. Murieron cuando reparaban los cables. They died, one syllable, died. They died when they were repairing the cables. Cables. They died when they were repairing the cables. They died when they were fixing the cables. They died when they were mending the cables. Now, of those three verbs, repairing, fixing, and mending, mending is the one I use the least. But my brother-in-law, for example, who's an Englishman, would say mend all the time. They mended it. I got my shoes mended. I got them fixed. I got them repaired. Pensaba en ti cuando me llamaste. Pensaba en ti cuando me llamaste. I was thinking about you when you called me. I was thinking about you when you called me. Great song, actually, by an English group. What we would call a one-hit wonder, which is where a musician has one famous song and no other famous song. And they were called London Beat. London Beat. And the song is called Thinking About You. It's a good one to lift your spirits on a Friday. So they died when they were repairing the cables. I was thinking about you when you called me. ¿Qué hacías anoche cuando te llamé? ¿Qué hacías anoche cuando te llamé? What were you doing last night when I called you? One syllable for called. What were you doing last night when I called you? ¿Qué hacía tu mujer cuando llegaste a casa? ¿Qué hacía tu mujer cuando llegaste a casa? What was your wife doing when you got home? What was your wife doing when you got home? Again, this combination of tenses, simple past, past continuous. This is very, very, very common spoken English and written English for an email. You know, what time, John, what time was it when you got home last night? No, sorry, there's no past continuous in that. What was your son doing when you got home last night? What was your daughter doing when you got home last night? What was your boss doing when you saw him? What was the boss saying when you spoke to him? Cuando les vi, estaban entrando en un restaurante. Cuando les vi, estaban entrando en un restaurante. When I saw them, they were going into a restaurant. Now, there are some different pronunciations of restaurant in native English. I say restaurant, two syllables, restaurant. Now, if you talk to the biggest city in Canada is Toronto. But people from Toronto, they don't say Toronto, they say Toronto. Toronto. Restaurant. 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 Todo iba bien hasta que tú viniste. Todo iba bien hasta que tú viniste. Everything was going well until you came. Everything was going well until you came. This sentence reminds me of one of my favorite pubs, bars in Cork City. It's called the Castle Inn. And it's on South Main Street, right in the center of the city. And it's a small city. And this is an old pub run by a family. And it hasn't changed in any way. I don't know if it's even been painted. Well, of course it has. But it hasn't changed in any way since the 1940s. It has a stone floor. It has a small bar. It has a snug. S-N-U-G. Now, this is one of my favorite things about British and Irish bars. They have snugs. And you might say, well, what is that, a snug? A snug back in the old days, for example, when my parents were young, when my mother was a young woman in the early 60s, for example, it was quite socially unacceptable for a woman to enter a bar by herself. It was even not very acceptable for a group of women to enter a bar. It was seen as a comment on their character. Now, this didn't apply to everybody, but the vast majority of my mother's generation would not have gone to a bar unless they were with their husband, for example. So these, the, and also priests, it was a little socially unacceptable for a priest to be sitting in a bar drinking with people. So a lot of these old bars, and you will still find them, a lot of these have been retained, they had a little room, sometimes with a different entrance from a side street. Now, what's a side street? A side street is if you have a bar on the main street, the busiest street, and there's a little callejón next to it, a side street or an alleyway, and very often the bar had an entrance there. And so people could go in there unnoticed, unseen, and they would sit in the snug. Now, the snug had wooden walls that were typically about over 2 meters high, maybe 2 meters 10. It had a door, and there was glass in the door, but the glass was frosted. Frosted, what does that mean? That means you couldn't see through it. You could see shapes, but you couldn't see the person. So in this snug were often people who didn't want to be seen by the rest of the people. And usually it was someone who was a regular in that bar. So this bar, the Castle Inn on South Main Street in Cork, is one of my favourite pubs in the whole world. And it's run by a lady called Mary and her husband and her son. And it's great fun place to go. And no, nothing fancy, no fancy music. Actually, there's no music, but if you want to sing, they will let you sing. And one of my best friends, Dan likes to enjoy himself, and Dan has a good sense of humor. And so does this lady, Mary, who's the owner. And so when I would go in there with Dan, she would say, "Oh, trouble of the house, trouble of the house." So this sentence, everything was going well until you came. Everything was going well until you came. La conocí cuando ella trabajaba en la administración. La conocí cuando ella trabajaba en la administración. I met her when she was newing, I met her when she was working in the administration. Administration. I met her when she was working in the administration. This word can also be used for the government. The government, the administration. I met her when she was working in the administration. La conocí. I met her. Because remember, first you meet someone, then you know them. Lo encontré cuando estaba limpiando la cocina. Lo encontré cuando estaba limpiando la cocina. I found it. I found it when I was cleaning the kitchen. Ella le dejó porque se dio cuenta de que él la mentía. Ella le dejó porque se dio cuenta de que él la mentía. She left him because she realized he was lying to her. She left him because she realized he was lying to her. She found out also, you could say. Lo perdí cuando cambiaba la rueda. Lo perdí cuando cambiaba la rueda. I lost it when I was changing the tire. Now, strictly speaking, I lost it when I was changing the wheel, because neumático is tire. How do you spell tire in American English? T-I-R-E. And in British and Irish English, T-Y-R-E. Lo perdí cuando cambiaba la rueda. I lost it when I was changing the wheel. El teléfono sonó cuando yo me estaba durmiendo. El teléfono sonó cuando yo me estaba durmiendo. The telephone rang when I was falling asleep. Pensé en ello mientras conducía mi coche. I thought about it while I was driving my car. Fui a verla cuando me enteré de su problema. I went to see her when I learned about her problem. Learned, again, one syllable. I went to see her when I learned about her problem. If you want to use a phrasal verb, I went to see her when I found out about her problem. Common question from students. Could you use realized here? Not quite. It doesn't grab the idea of me enteré. I went to see her when I learned about her problem. Él lo rompió cuando lavaba los platos. Él lo rompió cuando lavaba los platos. He broke it. He broke it when he was washing the dishes. He broke it when he was washing the dishes. Now, literally, you could say washing the plates. But you would specifically only be talking about the plates. When you wash the dishes, you talk about cups, saucers, plates, dishes, and cutlery, also known as silverware. Cutlery is knives, it's the metal. Knives, forks, spoons. I would say cutlery, an American would say silverware. Se lo di a ellos cuando salían del hotel. Se lo di a ellos cuando salían del hotel. I gave it to them when they were leaving the hotel. I gave it to them when they were leaving the hotel. Don't forget about that V in leaving. And it's hotel, not hotel. Hotel. I gave it to them when they were leaving the hotel. A good friend of mine, Eamon, from Chicago, used to work with us. And he blames the Eagles and Hotel California because he says in that song they pronounce hotel like hotel. So it's hotel. Hotel with the emphasis on the second syllable. I gave it to them when they were leaving the hotel. I gave it to them when they were leaving the hotel. Stay with me, folks. Back with you in just a few minutes.
¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que... pues que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3... Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Estás escuchando...
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Esto, lo que oyes...
Vaughan Radio.
¿Ha tenido un posible contagio de COVID o quiere evitarlos? ¿Necesita viajar o visitar a algún familiar? Por su tranquilidad o por la seguridad de sus seres queridos, en Laboratorios LifeLens realizamos pruebas PCR con informe de resultados en el mismo día y test rápido de antígenos y de anticuerpos con resultados en 15 minutos en Madrid. Pida su cita online en citacovid.com. Recuerde, citacovid.com.
Por fin puedes disparar tu carrera profesional sin salir de casa. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Ahora, desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Young people in Spain speak and understand English better today than 20 years ago. However, their level is still insufficient for effective communication in the professional world. If you're a young person, and if you want to progress in your profession rapidly and decisively, stop everything and focus now 100% on English. Get the problem 100% out of the way now. Don't postpone it.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana? Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready? Start the class.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo, horario de mañana o tarde, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades, ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación.
Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel.
Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to No Excuses. Welcome back to the program, or welcome to the program if you're just joining us. Let's do a question mix from English O'Clock, Julia's book. Do I have auburn hair? Do I have auburn hair? I don't know. What does auburn mean? Auburn is a beautiful dark shade of red hair. So I have two sisters, and you would commonly say that they have red hair. But they both... I don't think it's the case anymore. They used to get very annoyed when they were young when people said they had red hair. They would say, it's auburn. Now, auburn, a Spanish person told me, in Spanish you say berenjena, aubergine. So it's like a beautiful dark shade of red hair. Quite common in my country. Do I have auburn hair? No, I don't. No, I don't. Ask me if there's a cat in my house. Ask me if there's a cat in my house. Is there a cat in your house? Is there a cat in your house? No, there isn't. No, there isn't. Reasonably useful expression in English. Don't let the cat out of the bag. Don't let the cat out of the bag. Somebody tells you a secret, and either deliberately or by mistake, you tell somebody. And it's like, oh, you let the cat out of the bag. Don't let the cat out of the bag. Do you have an alarm clock at home? Do you have an alarm clock at home? No, I don't. No, I don't. But how do you wake up every morning? I use my phone. Ah, of course. And what would you do one day if your phone broke? Wolf, I'd be in trouble. I'd be cut off from so many people. Are there cut off? Yeah, I would be incommunicado. I would not be able to communicate with many people. Are there any pink microphones in this room? Are there any pink microphones in this room? No, there aren't. No, there aren't. How many men are there in this room? How many men are there in this room? There's one man in this room. There's one man in this room. Is the Mississippi a mountain or a river? Is the Mississippi a mountain or a river? It's a river. It's a river. There's a great song which was made famous by a man with a fantastic voice, a man called Paul Robeson. Paul, P-A-U-L. R-O-B-E-S-O-N. With a fantastic bass voice. Very, very deep singing voice. A very accomplished man. He was also a very good American football player. Let me see if I can find out. I believe most of his fame was probably in the 1930s, 1940s. He was also an actor. Paul Robeson, he was born in 1898 and died in 1976. Sorry, bass baritone, to be correct. Bass baritone. He was also a political activist. He was a black man, so he was also involved in politics. He was blacklisted during what was called the McCarthy era because he was supposedly a communist sympathizer. I don't know if that's true or not. But he did win an academic scholarship to Rutgers College, which is a famous football college. And he was what was called an All-American, meaning he was such a good player that he was selected for the, he was maybe one of the best 15, 20, I don't know how many, I don't know how many players are selected. It still happens, the All-American. The College Football All-America team is an honor given annually to the best American college football players at their respective positions. The original use of the term All-America seems to have been to the 1889 College Football All-America team selected by Casper Whitney and published in This Week's Sport. And who was he? Casper Whitney apparently was an author, editor, explorer, and war correspondent. Quite an accomplished guy. So Paul Robeson was selected for this team. So he was an actor, a singer, political activist, and a very good athlete, obviously. But why am I talking about him? Because there was a film called Showboat, made in 1936, a romantic musical film. Now, if I remember correctly, even though it was 1936, it was in color. Maybe I'm wrong. But in that film, there's a great song called Old Man River, which of course means Old Man River. And it's a tribute to the Mississippi. And he sings it in his very, very deep and powerful voice. Old Man River. Let me see if I can find the lyrics to Old Man River. But this was made famous by Paul Robeson. So and it's not Old Man River, it's Old Man River. Old is how would I say? Almost like a dialect way of saying old. So I might say, the old man. The old man. It's not good English. But of course there's poetic license because it is it's a song, Old Man River. So it's sometimes spelled O-L-E. And actually in the version I'm looking at here, it's just O-L apostrophe. So here's what he says. Old man, I'm not going to sing. I'd like to try this. Maybe I need to have a few drinks to sing it. And it's the morning. Come on. Old Man River, that Old Man River. He don't say nothing. Now, do you see the mistake? It should be, of course, he doesn't say anything. So he don't. Now, this is something that in certain, let's say, dialects of American English, and I know in certain dialects of Irish English, because I have cousins that say this. I have a cousin who says, my cousin's wife, he do and he don't, instead of he does and he doesn't. So that comes out here. So Old Man River, that Old Man River, he don't say nothing. And of course it's a double negative. It should be he doesn't say anything, but it doesn't sound so good in a song. But he must know something. Perfectly fine, but he must know something. Cause, which is because he just keeps rolling. Rolling meaning moving. Slowly, because of course the Mississippi, as it reaches the Mississippi Delta, is a hugely wide river, and so it moves slowly. He keeps rolling along. He don't plant taters. Now again, he doesn't plant potatoes. Taters. This was again a dialect way of saying potatoes. But don't ever use this. You'll see this in certain films about the American South. He don't plant taters. He don't plant cotton. Because, of course, it's about the South. Them that plants them is soon forgotten. Now, in correct English, this should be those that plant them are soon forgotten. So again, because it's written in dialect. Them that plants them, so plants them. And this is quite common in English. I remember my mother getting annoyed with me when I would say this. Instead of them, you say M. Give it to M. Give it to them. Give it to them. Give it to them. So them that plants them, so those that plant them. So it's an incorrect use again of the third person S because it's in the plural. So them that plants them is soon forgotten. And here again, it's is instead of are. But you'll hear something like this if you go to London, for example. Misuse of the verb to be. Them that plants them is soon forgotten. But Old Man River, he keeps rolling. You and me, and then the P pitch of the song here slows down and gets quieter. You and me, we sweat and strain. So sweat, like you perspire. Strain, when you make a very, very strong physical effort. Strain. We sweat and strain. Body all aching and racked with pain. This is an interesting word, rack. W-A-R-C-K. Means filled with. You could say it's a very, very formal, old-style verb. You say, yeah, how is, if you're speaking poetically almost, how is Mary? Oh, she's racked with pain. She's very ill. She's racked with pain. She's racked with anger. She's racked with sadness. So body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge. You say, what are you talking about? Tote, in this case, means to push, to control, to drive. And a barge is a very large, wide, usually flat-bottomed boat that's used on rivers and canals. Not usually used at sea, because it's usually used for transporting very heavy cargo over not very long distances. That's a barge. A barge. Tote that barge. Lift that bale. Now, bale is B-A-L-E, like Christian Bale, Gareth Bale. I'm sure their surnames have something to do with this. In this case, because we're talking about the American South, we're talking about cotton. And when cotton is harvested, and cut and harvested, it's put into bales. You see this here, for example. If you drive out of any Spanish city, now I can't speak for other countries, but if you drive out of any Spanish city in the months of September, especially in October, and you move out into, the classic for me is into the meseta of Spain, into, you know, Castilla León. If you're driving, for example, from Madrid to Valladolid or Madrid to Valencia, and you go through that countryside, and it's the flat landscape where a lot of wheat is grown, trigo, wheat. And so when the wheat is harvested, you get the grain, the part that's going to be made into bread and beer, and then the stalk, S-T-A-L-K, the long part that supports the grain. And the farmers keep that and they bale it, B-A-L-E, because it's used later as, now the animals don't eat it, the cows don't eat it, but it's used for bedding. It's too hard, they don't like it. So it's used for bedding. So that's the bale, B-A-L-E. Lift that bale. Get a little drunk, very straightforward, and you land in jail. What does that mean, to land? Now, you land at an airport, but you land in jail means suddenly you're put in jail. Get a little drunk, and you land in jail. I gets weary. Again, the incorrect use of the third person S. It should, of course, be I get weary. What's weary? Weary is tired. W-E-A-R-Y. Weary. Weary. Not a very common word, but still used. I gets weary. Sick of trying. I get sick of trying. I'm tired of living. Feared of dying. Feared of dying. Afraid. Afraid. When I was at school, we did a play for what's called our leaving certificate, which for Spanish people would be the same as the selectividad. And this play was called The Playboy of the Western World, written by a man called John Millington Synge, John M. Synge, interesting character, an Englishman, who went to live on what are called the Aran Islands. Now, these islands, if many Spanish people have been to Galway, a lovely city in the west of Ireland, and you can get a ferry from Galway City out to the Aran Islands, which are three small islands, and they are still, to this day, Gaelic-speaking, Irish-speaking. And so at the end of the 19th century, John M. Synge decided to go there and to live there. And he couldn't speak Irish, but of course, being there, he began to learn Irish, and he became a fluent Irish speaker. And this was in the 19th century, I can tell you, these islands were poor. It was very difficult living, very severe weather, very small subsistence farms, but a very good culture, a very good life there. And he wrote a play called The Playboy of the Western World, which is a based around a murder, basically. And there's a priest involved, of course, in Irish culture at the time. That was important. And the main character at one stage says, I'm afeard of Father Riley, meaning I'm afraid. So here in the song, they say, feared of dying. Feared of dying, afraid of dying. But Old Man River, he's rolling along. Old Man River, he's rolling along. If you want to find it on YouTube and listen to the glorious voice of Paul Robeson, Paul Robeson, R-O-B-E-S-O-N, and it's Old Man River. And it's an old film about the Black South, made in 1937. And it's a very good film. When I was a kid, I used to watch it with my sisters. It was off and on for some reason at Christmas time, like a lot of these musicals were. All right. So let's do a little bit of vocabulary here. This is vocabulary booklet 5, list 18. Vocabulary booklet 5, list 18. Avance. Avance. Advancement. Advancement in your job is dependent on how good your English is. Advancement. En el mejor de los casos. En el mejor de los casos. At best. Here's an example of very how concise English is. At best. At best, we'll get there by 5 o'clock. At best, we'll only lose 15% of our business. Tramposo. Tramposo. Cheater. Cheater. C-H-E-A-T-E-R. Cheater. Cobre. Cobre. Copper. Copper. Now, for many years, Advanced Systems, we've had a client, Atlantic Copper. But when they were first a client, somebody made a mistake in Vaughan and wrote the name as Cooper. And so to this day, my Spanish colleagues say Atlantic Cooper. Now, what is a Cooper? Now, if you're familiar with cars and you're familiar with the British German car, the Mini, the most sporty version of the Mini is called the Mini Cooper. Because in the 1960s, a man called John Cooper modified the standard original Mini, the little tiny one, and had a lot of success in rallying. So in tribute to him, there was a Mini Cooper. Then when they reissued the modern Mini Cooper, which must be, I think, 15, 16 years ago, they had a version, the Mini Cooper. And what is a Cooper? Because a Cooper was an occupation. A Cooper was an occupation. A Cooper was a person who made wooden barrels, typically for beer or casks for wine, a Cooper. And then, of course, in the beer industry, they reverted many years ago to aluminium kegs, which is the word you use for what you see inside a bar, what the draft beer comes from. And so the Coopers lost their jobs. Now, it's one of those jobs that you will still find Coopers who probably make a very good living because it's a very, very specialized job. And good wine, of course, comes from casks, which are often made by the Coopers. But it's a very common surname, both in Britain and Ireland and the United States. Cooper. But in this case, of course, it's cobre, copper. Cobre, copper. Perjudicial. Perjudicial. Detrimental. Detrimental. Now, be careful of a false friend here. Because perjudicial sounds, you might think, that's prejudice. No, no, no. Prejudice is when you, for example, this is often used for racism. There's a racial prejudice. Or you're prejudiced against me, so I didn't get promoted because you're prejudiced against me. So be careful of that. So perjudicial, detrimental. Detrimental. It's detrimental to your health. Entusiasmo. Entusiasmo. Enthusiasm. Again, be careful of your TH here. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Even though it's an S at the end, enthusiasm. Both S's in that word sound like a Z. Enthusiasm. Cimientos. Cimientos. Foundation. Foundation. Enorme. Enorme. Huge. Huge. A lot of people make fun of Donald Trump for how he pronounces this word, but actually it's because he's from New York. And obviously New York English is very influenced. I often talk about this with my good friend Alberto. It's very influenced by the fact that so many Irish emigrated there. And so a lot of New Yorkers pronounce their THs like an Irish person. the table, and they say huge instead of huge. Now, the correct pronunciation is huge, but that's a trace of his New York accent, which you'll also find with Irish people. Me suena. It rings a bell. Lujo. Luxury. A strange word here. Luxury. L-U-X-U-R-Y. But it's not luxury. Luxury. Now, an old English word for ear is lug. Lug. Hardly used anymore. But the verb lug is used, which means to carry something very heavy. Why are you lugging that heavy bag around with you? Luxury. You've got that strange zh. Usually. Like I said before, the way an Argentinian person says ella, ella, usually, luxury. Indoloro, painless. I know in Spain you had the TV series MASH, M-A-S-H, which was about a medical field hospital during the Korean War, an American TV series. And the song, the signature tune was, the chorus was, Suicide is Painless. Suicide is Painless. I don't know why that song was used for that TV series, actually. Arbitro, referee. Now, in American sports, it is more typical that for baseball, for American football, that they refer to the umpire. They refer to the umpire. Referee tends to be what's used in soccer, football. And referee, of course, also is a person who does a reference for another person. I get asked a lot by former Vaughan teachers and even current Vaughan teachers when they're applying for a master's, for example, to be their referee, the person who provides their reference. Sierra, as in herramienta. Sierra, herramienta. Saw. A saw. I remember getting a big kick out of, which means to be delighted, when I first realized that this word in Spanish that is the same for a mountain range and for the carpenter's tool. And of course it makes sense. You look at the little tiny teeth, we would say, the teeth of the saw, and it can look like a miniature mountain range. Sierra, saw. And the verb is the same. I sawed it. And it's irregular. Every day I saw, yesterday I sawed, lately I've sawn. Astuto, shrewd. He's a shrewd operator. She's very shrewd. This always reminds me, and maybe it comes from this, a tiny animal that is smaller than a mouse is called a shrew. And I should know this in Spanish, but I forget. A shrew. S-H-R-E-W. A tiny, tiny creature. Musaraña. Yes, musaraña. And the smallest one of them is called a pygmy shrew. Pygmy, meaning tiny. A pygmy shrew. And I suppose they're intelligent animals, because they have to be because they're so small. And so possibly the word shrewd comes from them. There's a great Shakespeare play called The Taming of the Shrew. Montón, stack. Oof, I have a stack of emails. I have a stack of letters on my desk. Hecho a medida, tailor-made. If you're a golf fan, you realize that one of the big golf brands is tailor-made. Because Taylor, as a surname, is typically spelled T-A-Y-L-O-R, even though the noun in English is T-A-I-L-O-R. So at some stage, there was probably a change. Very common name in England, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Taylor. Considerado, thoughtful. She's a thoughtful person. Sangrar, to bleed. Here's an interesting use of bleed. Of course, bleed, you have blood, as in the medical idea of your blood, but also you have to bleed the radiators. You bleed the radiators if you get an airlock. So if you have the radiator in your house, it comes out in the winter, and only one half of the radiator is warm and the other part is cold, you have an airlock. There's air inside the radiator that is blocking the hot water from getting in. So you have to bleed it. You have to get a special key and you have to bleed the radiator. Yep. Cavar. To dig. to dig, sequestrar, sequestrar, to kidnap, to kidnap. And of course, the origin of the word kidnap in English comes from one of the most famous kidnapping cases of all time. Charles Lindbergh, the great American aviator, who was the first person, if I remember correctly, to cross the Atlantic solo in a plane called the Spirit of St. Louis. And he was a wealthy man. And his child was kidnapped and murdered. And it was a huge, huge case. And kid, of course, is short for child. And I believe that apparently, so I believe, the word kidnap was invented by a journalist around that time. And of course, now you also have to abduct is the legal term, to kidnap. Beneficiarse de, to profit from. Ablandar, to soften. Now, this is like often. You can say soften, but I think more common is soften, where the T is not pronounced. S-O-F-T-E-N. Tomar el pelo. To pull your leg, or simply to tease. To tease. Stop teasing me. T-E-A-S-E. To tease. It's also to solve something complicated. Let's tease this out. Let's tease out the problem. Let's tease it out. Palillo. Palillo, toothpick. And finally, debilidad. Debilidad, weakness. Weakness. That's it for today, folks. Have a great day and see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Vaughn Inc.